Lord Peter Whimsey. Starring Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter, with Alan Cuthbertson as Robert Fentiman, Martin Jarvis as George Fentiman, and Gabriel Wolfe as Inspector Parker. The Unpleasantness at the Bologna Club by Dorothy L. Sayers, adapted in 6 episodes by Chris Miller. Episode 6, Anne Dorland. Lord Peter Whimsey and Inspector Parker are investigating the murder by poisoning of old General Fentiman. The two people with the strongest motives, Anne Dorland, his late sister's ward, and George Fentiman, his grandson, have both suddenly disappeared. After a visit to Anne Dorland's studio to look at her paintings, the two detectives go to a nearby pub for lunch.
Oh. Whimsey! Oh. Hello. I hear you're working on the Fentiman case.
Hello, Sally. Yes. Charles, this is Sorghum Hardy, chief crime reporter of the Daily Yell.
We know each other.
Too well, eh, Inspector? Well, how's it all going? Do we say that an arrest is imminent, eh?
Why don't you tell us your version, Sally? Your opinion is as good as anybody's.
Mine? Well, same as yours, same as everybody's. The girl was in league with the doctor, of course. Pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, this may be. It's certainly possible, if we can prove a connection between them. Of course, they were both occasional visitors at Mrs. Rushworth's house. In fact, Penbeth is now engaged to Naomi Rushworth. But there's no evidence that he and Anne Dorland ever knew each other well.
But you ass sheep. No, I won't dash it. Fish it out for yourselves.
What's that, Whimsy?
No, nothing at all. We've just been round to Lady Dormer's, Sally, looking at some of Miss Dorland's portraits.
Oh, yeah? And?
Well, they weren't very good. But one in particular was quite revealing.
Oh. Well, anyway, Inspector, look here.
Mm?
Any chance of your arresting Pemberthy and Miss Dorland today? Because if so, you will let me know, won't you?
Not a chance, old man. I can't arrest them without evidence. Unless you can prove to me that they knew each other well, and knew the contents of the will, I've got nothing to go on. And also, you've got to explain why, if they did know about the will, they delayed killing the general until the last minute.
Well, that's clear enough.
What?
The old lady looked like seeing him into the grave easily. It was only when she contracted pneumonia that it became necessary to take steps to ensure he died first.
That's reasonable. Well, I wonder how Penberthy's share of the boodle was to be transferred to him.
Oh, it's simple if you know Penberthy. Now, look here. Here's this doctor. Not rich. Retired army surgeon with a brass plate and a consulting room in Harley Street. Lives on a few old dodderers down at the Bellona. Has an idea. If only he could start one of these clinics for rejuvenating people, he could be a millionaire. Then this girl comes along. She's a rich old woman's heiress, and he goes after her. It's all fixed up. He's to accommodate her by removing the obstacle to the fortune, and she obligingly responds by putting the money into his clinic. In order not to make it too obvious, she has to pretend to get a dickens of an interest in rejuvenating glands. So she starts turning up regularly at the Rushworths for meetings. Look a bit clearer. Well, Inspector, that solved your case for you.
Yeah.
How about you doing me a good turn now and letting me know when you're going to arrest them?
I shall need a bit more proof first, Hardy. It's not enough to prove they were acquainted. I want someone who's seen them talking together at least. And they're hardly going to communicate with each other now.
Well, of course not. They've quarreled.
What? Well, how the devil do you know that?
Because, Charles, you have got it all wrong.
What?
Well, at least I think you have. You may have got the right solution, but the working of the sum is all wrong. Same as mine used to be at school when I'd looked up the answer in the crib and he had to fudge the middle part. Look, I do not believe this story about bribing and corrupting Pemberthy and getting him to do the murder. It don't fit.
It don't fit what?
Look, it don't fit the portrait or the books. Or what Nurse Armstrong said about Anne Dorland being brisk and alert. It's a mechanically perfect explanation, but I swear it's all wrong.
If it's mechanically perfect, it's good enough for me. It's far more than most explanations are. You've got that portrait on the brain, Whimsy. It's because you're artistic, I suppose.
Oh, artistic, Big Hand. This is because I am an ordinary person and have met women and talked to them like ordinary human beings.
Oh, you and your women.
Well, I and my women, what about it? Learn something. You are on the wrong track, Charles, about this girl.
Look, I've met her. You haven't. She impressed me as being guilty.
Then I will swear that she ain't guilty.
Yeah, and then why has she run away?
She hasn't run away. She was taken away by a woman friend. No doubt to get her out of that awful house.
Oh, you must know, of course.
Well, you haven't any real evidence for your theories, if it comes to that.
No, I don't despair of getting all the evidence necessary, provided you don't keep me here all day. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, Sally, what a beast of a kiss this is. What a silly, sordid row.
Oh, don't worry, Whimsy. Heat of the moment and all that. Patch it up later.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, my spirit needs soothing anyway. I shall go and have tea with Marjorie Phelps. Oh, hello. Well, good afternoon.
Miss Phelps is out.
Oh. Will she be long?
Half an hour or so.
Well, do you think I might come in and wait?
I expect so, if you're a friend of hers.
Yeah, thank you. Well, then,
What do you want?
Want?
Yes. You've come to have a look at me, haven't you?
I came to see Miss Phelps.
And you, the famous sleuth.
Oh, I am sorry. Oh, no. Look, I am really awfully sorry to seem so stupid, but honestly, I had no idea who you were until this moment.
Hadn't you? Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Look here, would you like me to go?
You can please yourself.
Well, if you really mean that, Miss Dorland, I should like to stay. I've been wanting to meet you, you know.
That was nice of you. First you wanted to defraud me, and now you're trying to...
To what?
Yours is not a pleasant hobby, Lord Peter Whimsy.
Will you believe me when I assure you that I was never a party to Robert Pentiman's fraud? In fact, I showed it up.
Very well, if you say so, I must believe it. Oh, do sit down.
Oh, thank you. Well, let's talk about something ordinary till Miss Phelps comes in, shall we?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, now, Well, it's rather embarrassing, really. Books. What have you been reading lately?
Nothing much.
I don't know what I'd do without books. Reading's an escape to me, do you know? Is it to you?
How do you mean?
Well, it is to most people, I think. Do you know, I remember when something perfectly grinding and hateful happened to me once. I was in a nursing home with... Well, it was with shell shock, actually. I read detective stories all day. About the only thing I could read. All the others had the war in them, or love, or some damn thing I didn't want to think about.
I understand.
You've been through it, haven't you?
Everything's pretty hateful, isn't it?
Something's hurt you. All right. Well, now, don't talk about it if you don't want to. A man?
It usually is a man, isn't it?
Practically always. Fortunately, one gets over it, particularly if one tells somebody about it.
Some things are so beastly.
Oh, yes. There's quite a lot of things. Birth is beastly, and death. Indigestion, if it comes to that. Sometimes when I think of what's happening inside me to a beautiful Supreme de Sole with caviar in boats and the croutons and the jolly old little twists of potato and all the gadgets, you know, I could cry. that's better. Look here, you've been brooding over this and you're seeing it all out of proportion. Let's be practical and frightfully ordinary. Is it a baby?
Oh, no!
Well, that's rather a good thing, because babies, though no doubt excellent in their way, take a long time and come expensive. Is it blackmail?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Good. Because blackmail is even longer and more expensive than babies. But is it Freudian or sadistic or any of those popular modern amusements?
I don't believe you'd turn a hair if it was.
Why should I? What did the blighter do?
He said... He said I imagined things. He said I had a mania about sex. I suppose you would call it Freudian, really.
Is that all? I know plenty of people who would take that as a compliment. But obviously you don't. What exact form of mania did he suggest?
Oh, the gibbering sort that hangs around church doors for curates. It's a lie. He did pretend to want me and all that. The beast, I can't tell you the things he said.
Oh, poor kid. Look here, this fellow... Was it Pemberthy, by the way?
How did you know?
Well, the portrait... And lots of other things. The things you liked once and then wanted to hide away and forget. You got to know him at the Rushworths, I take it. When?
Nearly 2 years ago.
Were you keen on him then?
No, Well, I was keen on somebody else. Only that was a mistake, too. But later on, Dr. Pemberthy... Oh, I don't know. He walked home with me once or twice and then he asked me to dine with him in Soho.
Had you at the time told anyone about this comic will of Lady Dormer's?
How could I? I never knew anything about it till after she died.
Yes, I believe you. I expect he'd heard all about the family quarrel with the General and assumed you'd inherit her money. Did he ask you to marry him?
I thought he did. But he says he didn't. We talked about founding his clinic. I was to help him.
Did your aunt know anything about the engagement?
He didn't want her to be told. He was afraid she might think he was after the money.
Yes, and I dare say he was. Did you tell any of your friends?
No.
You were still engaged when Lady Dormer died, I take it?
As engaged as we ever were.
Look here, I'm going to give you a bit of a shock, but it'll have to come sooner or later. Has it ever occurred to you that it was Pemberthy who murdered General Fentiman?
I wondered. I couldn't think who else. But then I thought they suspected me. I didn't, you know.
Well, of course not. It was Pemberthy. I look at it like this. The General heard that afternoon that this legacy was coming to him. He toddled along to see Pemberthy, feeling very groggy, and promptly told him about it. Well, you could imagine him saying, "You've got to patch me up long enough to get the money." Nasty jar for Pemberthy. So what does he do? He gives him a slow-working type of pill, probably a powder in a very tough capsule, and he bundles him off home. Unfortunately, the General goes down to the Bellona instead, and he dies there. Robert Fentiman finds the body and hides it, with the result that the old boy's death ain't discovered till the next evening. Well, now, this puts Pemberthy in a bad fix. He can't draw attention to the peculiar appearance of the corpse, because he daren't risk a post-mortem. On the other hand, if he keeps quiet, the money may be lost and all his trouble will be wasted. So he puts the time of death as early as he dares and hopes for the best. But the one thing I don't understand is why he didn't then persuade you to compromise with the Fentimans from the start. That would have made him absolutely safe.
Oh, but he tried to. And I was so furious at the thought of you all trying to defraud me. Not for myself, you understand, for the clinic. That I wrote to Mr. Pritchard, my solicitor, telling him to have a proper inquiry made and on no account to agree to divide the money. That was what started our first quarrel.
But you changed your mind?
Yes. He eventually persuaded me and we were friends again.
And the next day was the day he broke the engagement.
Yes. How did you know?
Because I'd just been on the telephone to him and told him there was going to be an autopsy. He realized that if he was known to be engaged to you, he was absolutely bound to be suspected. So he hurried to cut the connection with you, purely in self-defense.
I see, but why do it in that brutal way?
Because, my dear, he knew that that particular accusation would be the very last thing a girl of your sort would tell people about. He made it absolutely impossible for you to claim him publicly, and he bolstered it up by engaging himself to the Rushworth female.
He didn't care how I suffered.
No. It was a perfectly diabolical thing to do.
Lord Peter, How will I ever be able to prove that I wasn't in league with Dr. Pemberthy? After all, our quarrel and his getting engaged to Naomi could have just been a put-up job between us to get us both out of a difficulty.
Well, I don't know yet. But I know you're straight. And I'll damn well see you through. Better answer it, I suppose. Hello?
Whimsy. It's taken me hours to track you down.
Ah, Charles.
Listen, George Fentiman has just been found in Clerkenwell. He's at the police station. He's given himself up.
Given? Whatever for?
For the murder of his grandfather.
Charles.
Oh, Peter, there you are. Are his wife and Pemberthy are with him at the moment?
Pemberthy?
He's his doctor, old man.
Can I go in?
Yes, yes.
George.
Shh. I've told them all about it.
He's asleep.
Don't wake him.
Who's asleep, dearest?
Oh, I mustn't say the name. He'd hear it, even in his sleep.
Even if you whispered it.
But he's tired and he nodded off. So I ran in here and told them all about it while he snored, before he could wake and stop me.
George, everything's all right.
No, no. You don't understand. He is me, and I am him. I killed my grandfather by giving him digitalin. I didn't remember till I saw the name on the bottle, but I did it. They've been following me about ever since, so I know he must have done it. He told me to smash the bottle so that you shouldn't find out, and they know I was the last person to see him. He's very cunning. Creep up on him quickly now that he's asleep and bind him in chains and cast him into the pit. Then I shall be able to sleep. Oh, I'm going to bed, Sheila. I'm going to bed. It's time to go to bed.
Yes, dear. It's time to go to bed.
Tired. Very tired. Off to bed, old girl. Off to bed.
Mrs. Fentiman.
Yes.
The sergeant's made up a bed in another room. Would you like to take your husband there?
Yes, of course. Thank you. He didn't do it, Inspector. It's the old trouble come back again. He thinks he's the devil, you know. He's been like this twice before.
Yes, of course. Don't worry.
Thank you. Come along, George.
So sleepy. Tired.
Right.
Give Mrs. Fentiman a hand, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Well, Pemberthy?
Nervous shock with well-marked delusions. 100 years ago, they'd have called it diabolic possession, but we know better.
Yes, but is he under a delusion in saying he murdered his grandfather, or did he actually murder him under the influence of this diabolical delusion?
Can't say at present.
Thank you, Doctor. Perhaps you'd come in and see your patient tomorrow morning?
Of course. Well, if that's all, Inspector, I'll be moving along.
Certainly.
Oh, Pemberthy, come round to the Bellona with me for a moment, would you? I'd rather like to have a word with you.
Oh, righto.
Let's go down to the end. It's quieter there.
It's always quiet here. I've never known anyone use this library.
Except General Fentiman. He died here. Here, let's sit down. Ah.
Well, what is it?
You've been a soldier, Pemberthy. I think you're a decent fellow. You've seen George Fentiman. It's a pity, ain't it?
Yes, but what about it?
If George Fentiman hadn't turned up with that delusion of his, I would have seen to it that you were arrested for murder this evening. Now, the point is this. When you are arrested, nothing as things are can prevent Miss Dorland being arrested on the same charge. Now, she's quite a decent girl, and you haven't treated her any too well, have you? Don't you think you might make things right for her by telling the truth straight away? You see, if once they get her into the dock, she'll always be a suspected person. Even if the jury believe her story, and they may not. She's plain, she's sulky, she's, well, not very articulate. She might make a bad impression. I say even if they do believe her story, people will always think that there's something in it. That's damning for a girl, ain't it? They might even bring her in guilty. You and I know that she isn't. But you don't want the girl hanged, Pemberthy, do you?
What do you want me to do?
Write a clear account of what actually happened. Make it clear that Miss Dorland had nothing to do with it.
And then?
Well, then, do as you like. In your place, I know what I would do.
Very well. You're quite right. I ought to have done it before. Damn it. I didn't intend to be such a sweep to the Dorland girl, Whimsy. I'd have been decent to her if I'd married her. And I never meant to get led into all this rotten way of doing things either. It was just self-defense. I still don't care a damn about having killed the old man. I could have made better use of the money than Robert Fentiman. He hasn't got two ideas in his head, and he's perfectly happy where he is. Though I hear his colonel's asked him to hand in his papers. As for Anne, she ought to be grateful to me in a way. I've secured her the money anyway.
Not unless you make it clear she had no part in the crime.
That's true. All right. I'll put it all on paper for you. Give me half an hour, will you?
Of course. I'll be next door in the smoking room. I brought Colonel Marshbanks along. He'll witness your statement with me. Have you finished?
Yes. I've tried to be as brief as possible.
Good.
Will it do?
Yes, this is perfectly all right. Do you agree, Colonel?
I do.
Thank you.
And Dr. Pemberthy, now that the paper is in Lord Peter Wimsey's hands, you understand that he can only take the course of communicating with the police. But as that would cause a great deal of unpleasantness to yourself and to other people, you may wish to take another way out of the situation. As a doctor, you will perhaps prefer to make your own arrangements. If not, I happen to have brought this with me from my private locker. I'm placing it here, in this table drawer, preparatory to taking it down into the country tomorrow. It is loaded.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Come along, Peter.
Thank you, old man. I'm coming, Colonel.
Coming.
I look on these matters from a soldier's point of view, of course, Peter. Much better to make a clean job of it. And yet, sometimes I think the war has had a bad effect on some of our young men. Nowadays, men, and I'm sorry to say women too, let themselves go in a way that is to me quite incomprehensible. I can understand a man's committing murder in hot blood, but poisoning, and then putting a good ladylike girl into such an equivocal position, no. I fail to understand it. Still, the right course is being taken at last.
Motorbike, probably. Eh?
Yes, the right course has been taken at last.
Hey, Fentiman!
Shh! Sorry.
Oh, hello, Whimsy.
Well, Bologna back to normal, I see.
Yes. By the way, I saw George last night. Mm-hmm. He's getting on splendidly. The doctor says he worked himself into it just out of worry lest he should be suspected. He sent you all sorts of messages, by the way.
Well, I must pop round and see him. How's Robert? How have you been getting on with the heiress and the lawyers and all that lot?
It was a long argument. Miss Dorland insisted on dividing the money, and I said, no, I couldn't think of it. She said it was only hers as the result of a crime, and Pritchard and Merble said she wasn't responsible for other people's crimes, and I said it had looked like my profiting at my own attempted fraud, and she said, not at all, and we went on and on, don't you know? Ah, that's a damn decent girl, Whimsy.
I know.
Oh, there's something very fine and straightforward about her.
Yeah, very true. I wouldn't have thought she was quite your sort, though.
Why not?
Well, no, arty and all that. Her looks aren't her strong point, are they?
You needn't be offensive, Whimsy. Surely I may be allowed to appreciate a woman of intelligence and character. I may not be highbrow, but I have some ideas beyond the front row of the chorus. You don't realize how desperately lonely she's been. She had to take up that art business to give her an interest, poor child. But she's really cut out for an ordinary, sensible, feminine life. You may not understand that with your ideas, but she has really a very sweet nature.
Yes, I'm sorry, Fentiman.
Oh, she made me ashamed the way she took the whole thing. When I think of the trouble I got her into, owing to my damn dishonest tinkering about with you, well, you know.
My dear man, you were perfectly providential. If you hadn't tinkered about, as you say, she'd be married to Pemberthy by now.
Well, that's true. And that makes it so amazing of her to forgive me. I mean, she loved that blighter, Whimsy. Oh, you don't know. It's absolutely pathetic.
Well, you'll have to do your best to make her forget it.
Well, I look on that as a duty.
Just so. Well, are you doing anything tonight? Care to come and look at a show?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm booked. Taking Miss Dorland to the new thing at the Palladium, in fact.
I
thought it'd do her good. Buck her up and so on.
Good work.
Well, I better be moving now. Picking her up at 7.
Righty-ho.
Cheerio, then, Whimsy.
Cheerio, Fentiman. And good luck.
In that, the last episode of The Unpleasantness at the Bologna Club, the parts were played as follows. Lord Peter Whimsy, Ian Carmichael, Robert Fentiman, Alan Cuthbertson, George Fentiman, Martin Jarvis, Inspector Parker, Gabriel Wolfe, Anne Dorland, Amanda Rice, Sheila Fentiman, Francis Jeter, Dr. Pemberthy, Christopher Emmett, Colonel Marchbanks and Sally Hardy, Wilfred Carter. Anne Dorland was adapted by Chris Miller from the book The Unpleasantness at the Bologna Club by Dorothy L. Sayers. The programme produced by Simon Brett. I have